You have never failed us. And so we can't turn around, Lord God, for we have come this far by faith. And so we thank you for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And Lord God, as we've gathered here, we again come before you as people who have come together to worship you. God, we love being here. Your holy presence is here among us, Lord God. And we thank you for the opportunity to still gather. Even though we may be small in number gathering, we thank you. And for those watching, we thank you for them also, Lord God. So speak a word now for all of us, God. Speak a word of love, a word of hope. Speak a word of hope. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord God, for you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. And my sermon title today is The Power of Hope. The Power of Hope. And I read this information, which is so true to all of us, for all of us. Hope is an essential part of life. Hope is an essential part of life. Humans seek after hope, like moths seek after light, the writer says. It's intrinsic to who we are, hope is. Neuroscientists Tali Shuttleworth argues hope is so essential to our survival that it is hardwired into our brains, arguing it can be the difference between living a healthier life versus one trapped by despair. Hope. Studies show hopeful college kids get higher GPAs and are more likely to graduate. Interesting. Hopeful athletes perform better on the field, cope better with injuries, and have greater mental adjustment when situations change. In one study of the elderly, those who said that they felt hopeless were more than twice as likely to die during the study follow-up period than those who were more hopeful. It's pretty clear. Hope is powerfully motivating catalyst, and why Dr. Shane Lopez, the psychologist who was regarded as the world's leading researcher on hope, claimed that hope isn't just an emotion, but an essential life tool. Hope is not just an emotion, but it's an essential life tool. Without hope, suicide rates rise, one writer says. And certainly during this time, from Thanksgiving to December, it's the highest rate of suicide in all the time, regardless of COVID or not. People feel hopeless. They've lost loved ones. They feel alone. Especially now they see on Facebook everybody showing what they have and what they don't have. And they feel so alone, they feel hopeless. And this year, they're more concerned about that than any other time. Because so many people are shut in. And so many people have lost their jobs and can't pay their mortgages and rent. And lose hope. He goes on and says, in a powerful article titled, Dying of Despair, psychiatrist Aaron Carroty observes the starting rise in deaths from suicide and drug overdoses. He points to a number of long-term studies that have analyzed the difference between high-risk patients who survive and those who die by suicide. Here's his conclusion, his brief conclusion of his research. Over a 10-year span, it turns out that one factor most strongly predicted of suicide is not how sick the person is, nor how many symptoms he or she exhibits, nor how many physical pain he or she is suffering, nor whether he or she is rich or poor. The most dangerous factor is a person's sense of hopelessness. The man or woman without hope is the likeliest candidate for suicide. We cannot live without hope. And if any of us here have been taking care of anybody who's homebound or home and or sickly and so on, you are, if you've ever been a chaplain in a hospital or anywhere, you can make see the difference between someone, both of them having the same sickness with the same prognosis, yet one is so hopeful and the other isn't. You can see the difference as chaplains. We always would say that sometimes you would see an older person who's really towards the end of life and they're so hopeful. You would say that they're having a good death. They're so hopeful and thankful. And then you'll see somebody much younger who just have no hope. Hope is important. And hope is said to be a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Right? An expectation. On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. And this is so appropriate, you see. Because when we read the Isaiah 64, 1-9 text, we get a glimpse of what was taking place at this time. During Isaiah's time, the children of Israel were under Assyrian captivity. Life was hard for them, right? They had been enslaved and were treated badly. And most of all, many of them could not worship Yahweh. If you read the text, Isaiah, book 1 and book 2, one of the longest prophecies, you will see they couldn't even get to worship Yahweh the way they want to. That means they couldn't come out and worship, couldn't come out and pray. They were hopeless. They were in a hopeless place. You hear the prophet now, Isaiah, he begins to talk to God and talk to the people. He says, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. God, can't you just open the heavens and come down? That's verse 1 of 64, right? So that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when the fire kindles the brushwood and the fire causes water to boil. Lord, if you just open the heavens and come down. Like we would like to tell God now, Lord, if you would just open the heavens and come down now and take care of this virus. Lord God, can you just open the heavens now, Lord God, for our hope is in you, God. Can you just come down, God, because we have had a great adversary called the coronavirus. Can you just come now, God, for we are hoping in you. And then the prophet reminds them. He looks back, he says, when you did awesome deeds, he remembers when you did awesome deeds that we did not expect. You came down the mountains, quaked at your presence. And for ages we heard about it. We heard about the awesome deeds that you did, God. No ear has ever perceived it. We know you could do great things, God Almighty. We know, Lord God, that there's nothing too hard or too difficult for you, Lord God. We know that there is nothing too hard or too difficult for God. Have you ever prayed that now during this time? Sometimes when I'm praying now, I says, oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth with an outstretched arm, as Jeremiah said. There is nothing too hard for you, God. There is nothing impossible with you, God Almighty. This virus can be stopped like that from a mighty God. And so the prophet is saying that. He says, but were you angry? And we sinned. Were you angry with us? We sinned because you hid yourself and we transgressed. He says, we sinned against you, God. Yet he gets to the end. Here's a word of hope from Isaiah. He says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand, Lord God. You are the one who created us. That's the image that Isaiah has given. We are the clay. You mold us out of the very earth, Lord God. How could you forget your handiwork? He says, do not be exceedingly angry, Lord. Lord, don't be exceedingly angry with us. And do not remember the iniquity forever. Now consider we are your people. God, will you consider today, Lord God, that we are your people. With all of our righteousness, Lord God, we are nothing but filthy rags, the prophet says. We are nothing before you, Lord God. Will you consider? And God would. That's the hope Isaiah wanted to leave this narrative, this pericope with, that God considered, because we know the end of the story, don't we, thus far, right? Friends, we see the gospel narrative now comes, and we see the hope again. You see, remember Advent has three meanings, right? We could give Advent three meanings. Number one, there was the first Advent. And that is most thought of now. It happened about 2,000 years ago. The first Advent, years ago, when Jesus came into the world. Amen? That was the first, he came as a baby. That was the answer to the hope. The hope they were waiting for, and he came. The second one we always say is that can happen now as we ask Jesus to live in our heart. Come, Jesus, come. Because Advent means to come. Coming, the arrival. Advent, it's from the Latin word coming. Come, Lord Jesus, you have already come in physical form. Come again and live in my heart and your heart and all those who are watching during this period. Come, Lord Jesus. And the third Advent will be what? When God returns, when Jesus returns. That will yet come. The final Advent, the third Advent, when he will come. And this gospel story reminds us that Jesus will yet come again. Friends, who have been studying Revelation, we read Revelation 22nd, the last chapter. And what joy we felt at the end of reading Revelation. That we know that Jesus will come again. He will come for those who believe. Here's what he says in the gospel. But in those days, and he's telling them, he's now in the gospel. Isaiah is now gone, dead and gone. The people have been waiting. They have been hoping. And we know what happened in the gospel narrative after Malachi. We know what happened, Matthew, Luke, and John. What happened? Jesus shows up. Baby Jesus was born. We won't get there now, but we know what happened. That God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent. No, he's not. So when God says it, it's so. And so he had promised, they had hope, and then he came. And Jesus says, but in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be fallen from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming. That's our hope, Christian believer. In the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds and the ends of the earth and the ends of the heaven. He will return, friends. That's our hope. He will return again. Jesus says, he gives them a lesson, he gives them the lesson of the fig tree. And he tells them, he says, you know, these things are going to happen. Jesus tells us it's going to happen. He says, heaven and earth may what? May fall away, but his word will what? Stand forever. He says, just like the fig tree, you know, it becomes it as soon as the branch becomes tender and puts out forked leaves, you know that summer is here. If you go look at the fig tree outside, we have a couple of fig trees in our church. There are no leaves on them. Right now, there are no leaves. We've been watching them because I've been eating the figs. You know, me and other people, we fight over the figs here, the group of us. But now there are no leaves. But once we see the leaves start coming, like we know that figs are coming. Amen? Jesus is telling them the story. He says, see also when you see these things, taking place, you know that he's near at the gates. And then he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. God's words will not pass away. Amen. Yes, give him a praise offering. Amen. It stands forever. And so what do we do while we're waiting? Jesus says to be what? The necessity to be watchful. We should be watching. And how do we watch? Do we just sit on our beds in our house, close the doors, put the covers over our head and just say, I'm watching. I'm now 70 and I'm watching, 75. That's not what he wants us to do. No, no, no. He says, therefore, keep awake. He didn't say go to sleep. Keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. You don't know. You and I don't know. In the evening or the night or the cock crow, we don't know. But he's going to come because his word stands forever. So friends, what do we do as I bring this home now? What do we do as we are waiting? We've got to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if we have already accepted him, we got to serve him. We've got to do what is right, study his word, read his word. And as the songwriter says, oh, you got to be able to sing, oh, your hope is built on nothing less, hallelujah, than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You got to be able to lean on his name. Oh, for on Christ the solid rock. There is no other rock like Jesus. It is not built on sand, on quicksand, or in water. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. We ought to be able to know that and do that. We ought to be able to understand that we have got a Savior who has told us the truth. He will return. And while we're living here, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He says, when darkness fails his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. You know, when things happen, when that moment of death comes, we rest on his unchanging grace to bring us through, friends, because we're standing on the solid rock. And this rock is Jesus. If you don't know him, you could get to know him. This rock is Jesus. He is the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, friends, today. Be very sure that your anchor holds and grasp the solid rock. Amen. And then we could sing. Then we could say, we're marching on to Zion. Then we could sing that song that's going to be played at the end. Then we can say we're marching on to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Oh, friends, I can't come out of my pew, but this is a marching. I just wish I could just run out now. We're marching to Zion. We read yesterday in Revelation, there's going to be a main street, a thoroughfare. Paved with gold. Oh, we have seen it. We read it in the text. And that God is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no more gnashing of teeth, no more weeping. Oh, glory to God. We will meet him in the air. We will be caught up to meet him. Hallelujah. That's our hope. That's our only hope. God, we just give him thanks today. For this time during Advent, especially during these times, we remember the word of Jesus that he promised to be with us even through the ages. Hallelujah. That's our hope. That's my hope for those who die in Christ. Do not die alone. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, glory to God, that's our hope no matter what we're going through. On Christ, the solid rock. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless his name this morning. That's my hope. If they tell me that I'm going to go home tomorrow, I am trusting that I'll be caught up to meet Jesus Christ. And now I could live in hope, knowing that he's with us. We bless his name. Silver and gold, friends, I do not have to give you. But what I have to give you is Jesus Christ, Savior of the whole world. Savior of the whole world. Amen. Amen. Give him a praise offering, friends. That's where our hope stands. That's where our hope stands. That's our hope in Christ today. Our hope is not in Santa Claus. Our hope is not in the lights we put outside of our house. Our hope is not in the tree we put up. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. God bless you all. And so, friends, as we rejoice in knowing this hope, that is the power of hope. As we rejoice in knowing him, let us now pray for our church. You could be seated when we pray for our church, friends.